Hey, this is me, so it's one of the Paul friends welcoming you to Star for the Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me. And Lord knows, I've been running late today, so coming up with a topic was a challenge. Okay, so I didn't come up with a topic. this is going to be one of those on the fly, on the seat of my pants, flying, and hopefully I won't crash. And if you do, I hope you enjoy the show. Obviously, a go-to thing for me is going to be the online client, especially since lately I've been doing more work. I've been paused for past couple of weeks because I've been busy with other things, but I'm back on it. I'm going to do my best to, my cat was trying to bother me, and this is not the time. But anyway, getting back to the client, I was doing some work on the client. For those people who pay attention to the Facebook page for SFB Online or the Twitter feed, I have not posted this up on the discussion board, which I should have, and I apologize for not doing that. As I did a quick YouTube video because I really was excited about what I found this open source Java swing look and feel theme. Because that's one thing, because I'm using Java, that I can do something that most things can't do. And that is, I can make the look and feel of the client to be different. And actually, for those people who've been using the client for a while, if you ever actually gone into the options menu, options dialog, or in the case of Mac, preferences, you will see, I will bring this up. For you, so that you can see it, and that it's going to be there. Okay, that was interesting. But anyway, So this is the new theme. It's a flat theme, and I feel like that's brings us one step. For those on the video, you can see this. With the flat theme, it brings us one step. You know, it's a minor step, but it's one step closer, so that the look and feel is more modern, more game-ish, I guess is what you call it. You know, because of if you've ever watched or looked at some of these games from the Unity interface, they'll have these themes, basic look and feel themes is basically the best way to describe it. For the windows, for the buttons and things like that, it's a whole look. And so for this case, you know, I changed it so that it is this new theme. It's called flat, basically. It is. It's an open source one. I got to remember to add that to the number of things that I referenced that I've used that are open source that was part of the product. So I got to remember to do that. But it's going to be part of the client. It's a Apache license for those in the know when it comes to open source things. So I'm good to distribute it. I just have to remember to add that as, okay, that I use this product. You know, it's Apache license and so forth. I got to reference that on the about box and so forth, so people can know that I'm using that open source project. But if you go here, go options, yeah, that's gonna have to change. But go to, here it is, look and feel. Right now, you got flat, you got metal, you got Nimbus, you got CD Motif, and right now I have Mac. I have Mac because I'm on a Mac. If you are on Windows, you see Windows. But something like Nimbus, if you click Nimbus, it looks it's more like this. You can see it's rounder, things are blacker and so forth, bolder text and so forth. And compared, and then of course you can and see how this has more bubbly. You can switch over to CD, and it's more boxy for those of you who've ever used Solaris. Actually, Solaris has, I'm sure that's why they have CD, because CD Motif is actually a desktop environment for Solaris, because I know because I use Solaris as a desktop environment for a bit. And CD was the one that they used, which was kind of interesting. These days they use like GNOME, or I'm not sure if KDE is available on Solaris. Projects, don't get me started on open source and projects when it comes to things other than Linux. If the operating system's not Linux, people aren't looking to support it. And so it makes it really difficult for other ones like Solaris, FreeBSD, any other platform, for those to be supported. Okay, but so you see this. But I felt like flat, this is more like what we want when it comes to a Oh. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, Dave. I forgot to turn on the sound over there. Give me a sec here, because I forgot to do one thing. I apologize for this. Okay. There's a problem.
Recording started.
There it went. I'm not sure if you heard it. I heard it. I'm sure something I'm gonna have to remove in post. So I apologize to anyone who went to TalkShoe to listen to this wonderful broadcast and did not see anybody. Oh, did not hear anything. So, but anyway, so that's one of the videos that I put out. Now, I'm just gonna bring this up real quick. There's obviously some changes that are gonna be occurring to the client in the future. One, I'm gonna be getting rid of this menu and just have a button called new for like a new game. Options will be gotten rid of because I'm not sure where I'm going to add it when it comes to, I'm not going to add it here. I might add it on this window here. I might have it here, which is going to be one of those gear things, because basically that's what it is. It's options. And so you hit a gear. This menu will disappear completely, because I don't think anyone's using online notification, recover from backup. I don't think anyone's using that feature. Device monitor. I'm gonna probably have an option in the options menu to bring it back if you want it, but most part it won't be available. And Windows, I'll probably get rid of that, and probably the help menu too. So I'm basically gonna remove all the menus. Is the whole idea, because people are saying, oh, the modern game system, you don't have menus. It's like, okay, you don't have menus. Weird, but okay. For Mac, it still have a menu. It'll still have this menu. It won't be Start Client, because Start Client's only because it's only Start Client because I'm in my own development environment. It'll say like SFU Online. I forget exactly why I have it stated on the Mac. But anyway, let's bring up a new game. I just want to see how this nice flat look. It's really cool. And it's just, and yeah, you can see the different games here, which are cool. Now, one thing I was playing around with, I just want to show you real quick. Yes, it's a big button. I could probably change so it does not happen, but the whole reason was this. I was doing a little bit of work on this. And what this, or I'm not sure where to point to, because camera's over here, my computer monitor's over here. That's why, just let you know, that's why if you ever watch my video and I'm looking directly at the camera, I'm looking directly at the camera. But the camera isn't not over the monitor. So if I'm looking at the monitor, you'll see me looking to the side. So this is the way it is. But anyway, when it comes to this, which is the palette. Now, one thing I did this, the whole idea being that in the future, very soon future, one of the changes I'm going to be making is that it's no longer going to be parked, no longer be a palette, which is going to be put here, or whatever. It's going to be floating. It's going to be a floating palette is what it's going to be. And so I play around with it so that as a floating palette, it looks better in a vertical orientation. Now, one thing I might need to do, haven't really thought about this too much yet. One thing I might need to do is I might actually have to have it so that this thing, this palette here, is configurable. Because I can easily imagine people wanting that. Now, obviously, well, obvious to me. Now, maybe I'm not obvious to you. But when I start out, I'm going to basically do what I did here, which is that the current palette, you know, is not modifiable. You can't change it. Hasn't ever been modifiable. So, given that, I'm going to start off with that. And I might have it so it's configurable in the future. But one thing I was thinking about is that I might have to see if I can enlist my daughter and her graphical expertise. Might cost me quite a few dollars. But I will see. I'm not going to ask her for the family-friendly discount because she costs like $15 an hour. And that's cheap in my mind. That's pretty cheap. Though my guess is going to take her quite a few hours. That's why it's going to be not so cheap. But it might cost me more than I ever expected. And these, I'll call them icons just because that's probably the best way to describe them. Icons for the palette. I'm going to see. I don't have the greatest, and I'm wondering if there's something I can do to make them better, to better looking, update them, and so forth, you know. And I really like to do that. I'm not sure. I'll probably show it to my daughter and see what kind of idea she's got. You know, about improving them to make it look better, a little more fancy, you know, more, I'm not going to say modern, because I don't think modern has anything to do with the look of that. That just has to do with more updated, because each one of these wonderful icons, except for the dice, each one of these icons was, actually, I think, I didn't do these. But for the most part, every single one of these, I did myself. You know? So, and some of these, like, this one is setting the size of the board. What that does actually sets the number of columns and rows. That's one of those things that I still got to figure out why that happens. I'll figure it out one of these days. I've been having a problem with that lately. Maybe it's just the version of Java I'm using. I'll see if I can, if the older version of Java works better. But you know, things like that, that you will rarely use. Is like you'll set the board size once and that's it. So, you know, is it something that should be put on the palette here or not? Maybe I should remove it, you know, because, you know, I got this, which is, you know, zoom in, zoom out. You know, so if you can add a piece here. Give me a clink. And it blows up, shrinks, and then you can click that, and you can just click that, and that comes on, comes off, and this actually is set cell size. And now the thing is, I have to keep this thing. I have to allow people to set the cell size. Now, I think, let me just look at this for a moment. I'm pretty sure of Zoom. Yeah, I've got high keys, control dot and control comma. So if I do, which I might be able to remove that just by saying, okay, you have to use, if, you can either use the drop-down menu, because I don't think anyone really sets the cell size, you know, by hand. So I'll probably remove that one. But anyway, the whole idea being that this will be a floating palette. This looks much better than it did previously, because previously it was straight across, and then you try to do it downward, and the control that I use to do that, it's called J Toolbar for those who done any swing programming in Java. I'm sure most people go, I don't care. That's fine. You're not supposed to. But it was really ugly. It was awful. It looks much better with this. This itself. Where is... Oh, there's game control. And yeah, going away. Yeah, so the impulse comes up there. This might be better if I see if I can get it left. Left? Yeah. Left justified. Boy, it's been a while. But anyway, the whole idea. See how these wonderful buttons are nice and they're just like squares. It's beautiful. These might have to change here, obviously, because of this is a very white background. Now, the biggest issue, obviously, I think some people might have is that what's the whole new, the big thing these days? Dark themes. And that might be doable, but you know, have it so that, you know, this background, instead of being this light gray, being a dark gray or being black. I'm not sure how other things work if you choose a background of black, but maybe I'll look to see if there's any more, if there is an option in the flat to select dark, or that if there's a dark flat Java look and feel, or do I forget, it's been so long, so I look at the look and feel. I think there actually is the option to actually set the individual pieces of the look and feel programmatically, so I could in theory change the color backgrounds and all that kind of thing, which would be, I mean, the lines would have to be white. The background would have, this would probably have to be black. This would probably have to be gray. You know, I'm not sure how much work that would be, but I'd go with this for the moment. if people say, oh, we want more a dark theme, I'll work on a dark theme. But that's one of the things down the road. I like the flat is beautiful. Yes, it's bright for some people who like dark themes. I like dark themes. Don't get me wrong. I really do. But the way this theme, this look and feel looked, I just was so excited. That's why I put out the video for those of you who actually watched it. You know, I as I said in the video, I was really excited and I had to show it to people because this is just, it was so cool and definitely brings us much further. The whole idea with these is I want to remove a lot of this window decoration. I'm not sure what I'm going to do then because of, like, remove the window decoration, you have no way of moving around the windows. So I might, at first, I'll probably just leave it and I might work towards removing it, but I might just leave it to begin with that has the window decoration just so that I can work on, because that's going to be a whole big thing. That's going to be a whole project to remove the window decoration to make it even more modern. If that could have the interface look more modern. That's the best way to put it. So anyway. Okay, cool. Dave's now over in the talk shoe. Maybe not. Okay. Because I thought I had switched over and it doesn't look like it is. Looks like OBS is having a problem. So anyhow, I just want to show that real quick. Because yeah, Dave, I see that you are here. And you watch them both. I'm assuming you mute one because otherwise that'd be kind of crazy because I'm sure there's a delay between the two because of one's video. Therefore, there should be a greater delay than the audio. So, and Iggy's out of here. Where's Iggy? Okay, Iggy, where are you? Anyhow, switch over this. Don't mind me. The keyboard hotkeys weren't working. So I hey, show you a little behind. but anyhow, I watched the video while I'm recording, which is really weird because of I get to see where I am a few seconds hence. So, but anyhow, yeah. So that's what's going on with online client. Obviously, I want to work more on doing that. I've got ideas. I really should post again on the discussion board. I'm just gonna see if I can get some more engagement. I don't know what to do to draw people out of their shell. You know. Actually, I had an idea to talk about tonight, and I think I'll go for it. That's just at the very least maybe a mini topic, and that is the one thing that actually I've been thinking about for a while. To be honest, but here's the thing. Here's always the freaking gotcha, and I know this purely by just because of what I've heard from. I listened to quite a few videos from this guy John O'Bacon, who knows about building communities. In this case, most of the time he's talking about building open source communities. He also he talks about not just open source communities, but business communities, you know, with customers and so forth. He does go down that rat hole a bit. But here's the thing. According to him, it depends upon your organization, depends upon your customers and the people you're trying to engage with, on how you want to engage with those people. And I think I've talked about this a little bit before. But the whole idea is, do you set up a separate forum, you know, a website which says, you know, forum and so forth, so you can talk to people there? Do you engage, create a Facebook group and engage them there? I don't think he ever mentions this one. I forget if he does or not. But one of the things, obviously, that I just think off the top of my head, another way of engaging people is email list. You know, and that's another thing which I know I need to engage people more. And I don't blame people that basically aren't engaged in any of these places. There are some engagement in the Facebook group for SWB Online, and I do my best to check on those at least once a week, just because there's not much engagement, and Lord knows I hate Facebook. And the biggest issue I have with Facebook when it comes to groups is that I don't know how to manage them. I don't know how to keep engaged. I don't know how to track the threads of discussion that are going on. I have no clue about this, and there's nothing. There's nothing. I'll have to admit, I've not actually checked Facebook help, but I'm willing to bet you there's nothing in the help that says, oh, this is how you can manage your group. Because that's one thing I've looked for in the past and I've not seen it, which is a book or a website or anything like that on how to use Facebook. I understand that Facebook is always changing, but I don't see anybody covering, okay, what does this function do? What does this function do? How do you get it so that you can more easily manage these things? And I don't see it anywhere. So, to say the very least, it drives me crazy. So I have no way of learning how to do these things. Because even if I get on there, it's like, okay, I have no clue what these things do. And you say, oh, well, just try things. It's like, try things? Try what? The functionality is very opaque. You know, because I got Facebook up here. Okay, I'll let you guys see it in just a moment. Let me switch over. Please just quiet. Zindy's two syllables. Okay. And this, see, just for giggles, does OBS now work and switch properly? And I don't see it. So let's do this. Nope, there. Okay. Forgot, wrong one. Apologize for those things at the moment. The OBS is acting up on me. That's going to be fun. But anyway, okay. Here's the Facebook page. What do I do? We have, okay, discussion. Okay. Have this one post here. There's another post on the 12th. Another post on January 18th. You know. Am I supposed to look at each post? And what happens when it comes to people who reply to posts that are not me, that I'm not part of that thread? You know, do I have to go into each one of these posts and go look down and say, okay, where's the replies? You know? I know announcements are supposed to add announcements. Rooms, I forget what those are. Oh, this is for live stuff, members, media, which is just uploaded images. Obviously, you can see these are from me. Files. Why in the heck are those there? Weird. Because these files are not for SFB Online. These files are for Starfleet Warlord. So I'm not sure how did they get up here. So, not sure. And, you know, a little about. Now, I'm not the person who set up this group at the moment. There's 326 members. No new posts today, you know. Which is not abnormal because, as I said, not much engagement here by the community. And what am I supposed to do? You know, if they say, oh, you're supposed to be there every single day and supposed to put up a post. Post about what? It's not like there's a lot of things happening with an online client or the online community. And there's only so many times you can ask you, what's your favorite race? Sorry, Empire. Sorry, Jane. You have a limited number of questions you can ask, limited number of things you can engage people with, and some of those are just a repeat at what they're doing. On the Starfleet Battles page or the Amarillo page. You know, so I'm less concerned about engagement when it comes to the group. And when it comes to, I want to know, how do I manage the group? Obviously, I can manage members. That's easy enough to do. You know, if I want to, I add them, subtract them, you know, whatever I need to do there. I can invite more, you know. Right now, I'm interacting with as if you're on call. But, you know, because, like, for, it was just, there's a few more. You know. And this is when I posted, that was by me, back in December. We just said, you know, I put up the topic, you know. Well, the topic for the evening was, how do you grow the SFB community? And that's why, you know, that's why I'm coming around to that topic tonight that I originally, you know, talked about three months ago. That's really hard as we keep blowing up ships, which is a good comment. But, you know, here's Les LeBlanc, a longtime SFB player. And there's Jessica there, you know, very well known in the SFB community. Paladine. Yeah, she created the Paladine. Paladine. Yes, by playing public outside of our existing group. So you just go look at the polls I did on the SFB page regarding how long it's been since the people have played. I don't make time to play if I don't have active invites. If you have played was, you know, the post. Okay, right. But no, I disagree here. By putting SMB on the Vassal site, thereby making it free to access, people are not going to pay if they have to fork over large sums of money to get access. I disagree with that presumption. Now, one, you can play SFB. I'll admit that it's limited. You can play SFB on SFB Online for free. You only can play a few ships, basically two, the Fed or the Klingon. Okay. But I charge people $5 a month. $5 a month. If you don't think playing a game for $5 a month is worth your time, you don't want to play. You're not a player. And if you want to watch a game, if you don't want to play and just want to watch, feel free. Yes, the one thing that I will say that I've talked about in the past that I feel like I need to work on, and I haven't worked on for a few months now, which is the web-based version of the client. The whole idea being is that there's zero friction. Currently, what is the friction? The friction is that you have to go download the client, install it on your computer, and then log in, and then get... So that's a lot of steps to get to that point. So in that case, the best one way to go forward with that is have it so it's web-based. In which case, if it's web-based, all you have to do is click, maybe log in by giving your email account an email address, and then possibly verify that email address. You know, it depends how far I want to take it. If I care that much. Exactly, Iggy. Heck, $5 is as much as you can. It might cost to get a Starbucks coffee. You know, it's nuts. I know that whole thing is nuts. And as Les points out here, you know that, you know it's a, you know, the cadet training manual is up there. But you know, Shane says, oh, put the full version on Vassal. No, putting the full version of Vassal won't do squat. What will happen is it might grow, and I disagree on the premise that it will. Let's say it does grow the community. Will it? How will it grow the community? What's the point of putting it on Vassal? What is the biggest issue? You still have to buy the rules. If you don't buy the rules, you can't play Starfleet battles. That is no ifs, ands, or buts. You have to buy the rules. The rules cost, I forget how much are these days. Jeez, it's been so long. Just for giggles, let's go to order products. And let's go to Starfleet Battles. Core rules. Let's get the basic. Let's buy the basic set of the rules. Cost $35. Now, here's the thing. Is someone who wants to be able to play the game for free. Yeah, the electronic version. Yeah, that's right, Iggy. Iggy's pointing out that Iggy, I forget why it doesn't run on your old Linux box. Did you work with him? I know I worked with somebody. I'm not sure if it was you or someone else. I was working to get their Linux. The Linux installer working because it's I think IZPack is the open source installer that I'm using for it. But anyway, That might be just because of the version of Java that was required, though. Oh, 32-bit. Huh? It should be around with 32-bit. And I got it now. I brought it back so we actually can run it using JDK 8. So Oracle does support. Don't think I'd have to check if they have Java 8 32-bit. In theory, it should work with OpenJDK. But anyway, getting back to my point, getting sidetracked with Iggy. And that is that, okay, the rules cost $35. So let's say that we make it free to play on Vassal. Will people know how to play it? No, because they haven't bought the rules. And until you buy the rules, you cannot play the game. So given that, that's why, see, that's why I disagree with Shane's presumption here that, that the full version would bring people, full free version allow you to play without cost, which you can do if you really want to. Hey, get a board out, use a camera, like one of these webcams. Have so you basically are playing against another person, that who also has the whole same setup and play that way. Right, we can be fought. Yeah, I agree there. Talking about how we don't really care as much about, different counters representing the various countries and the fault in whatever on the different boards and so forth. Yeah. Yeah. And I understand some of these things. But yeah, as to at one point, yeah, I think the whole idea of having, yeah, okay, we can have a free to play option. Okay. Where are you going to get the IP? Because you can't, in theory, you can possibly make it so you can play the tournament ships on Vassal, but even that, I've looked into it. I really have. I looked in to see, can would it be possible for me to create a plugin module for Vassal that you could play SFB? And the answer is no. In theory, you can. But there are some issues that you're going to have. You're going to have issues with me too firing. You're going to have issues with those kind of things which no longer occur, no longer can occur as part of Vassal. Now, if so, someone might say that, well, that's currently an issue when you play live. It's like, yeah. But even so, not really. Because you can do the same thing that you can currently do in SFB Online, which is metagaming. The whole idea of saying, oh, I'm going to be firing and not fire. You're allowed to do that. or oh, I'm gonna launch. You know, now always difficult part about playing games where people have the same like weapons, like Zinni versus Klingon. Oh, I'm gonna launch my drones. I'm gonna launch my drones. Okay, is that a Me Too launching? Possibly. In some cases, it's not. When it comes to drones, in my mind, it's less of Me Too, except for that it's more of, oh, I forgot that I need to launch my drones. So it's kind of Me Too, kind of not. It's not like direct fire weapons, where that's obviously Me Too. And in real life, that happens. Though, it's, again, as I said, you can use the whole metagame and say, oh, I'm going to fire, and then later on, and then have each player write down their orders, and then the person says, writes down, no fire. And they don't fire. And then if you decide, oh, I'm going to fire now, and I do a Me Too, you can fire, and he can come, he might still come barreling in on you, you know? So, it's not okay. I'll not go there at the moment. Okay, because something. Don't mind me. I'm just going to. Hey, Gary.
Hello there. How are things? I see the sound seems to be better than last week.
Yep.
But no sign of Barry this week, or was he on earlier?
No, Barry's not on this week. He actually went to bed around 2 hours ago.
Okay, so I'm guessing it'll probably be too late in the day to pick up the Juggernaut discussion. But start the Juggernaut discussion in terms of actually getting working.
Yeah, sorry. How long have you been waiting?
About 10 or 20 minutes. Because okay. Apparently TalkShoe has a thing where you can like put your eyes or hand, but I don't know if you can actually see that or not.
Well, I wasn't looking for it. So I greatly apologize for that. I wasn't paying attention. I just started going off because you weren't here early. So I was like, okay, well, you're not going to be here. So that's part of it.
Have you already, go on.
No, go ahead.
Have you had a quick look at this month's Shapeways uploads?
Yes, I did.
And did you also pass on the news about how I think all of the counter sheets for F&E are or most of them at least, are actually in, they've been shipped, they've been sent for printing. So hopefully, you know, the clock will start ticking once they get back. Mm-hmm. And so those products will be able to get out the door.
I have not keeping an eye on this past week. Last week I was keeping a close eye on it because I kept on seeing Steve Cole saying, oh, it's having issues here, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't keep an eye out this past week though. But that's good to hear.
And also, the most latest update to A Call to Arms Starfleet Book 2 is available in PDF, and I think you can get it in print now.
Cool. I didn't know about the print. I saw the post about the PDF, which obviously that's one of the things I was going to probably bring up in the news portion. Jeez. When I do record the news portion of the podcast, which I don't usually have for the video portion, I definitely noticed that, which was quite cool. I think I saw a posting on it earlier this week too, before I checked Facebook earlier today.
And if we keep our fingers crossed, we might even see Module RFRT as a PDF in the next couple of days, because I think the last thing to get done was the cover, and that's been set up. So, you know, barring any last-minute calamity, then that should be up now. The actual ships, because the Tholian Master Starship book PDF was updated recently as well, and it includes more and more ships that have been put into RFRT. So if anyone wants to see what's in there now, then the Master Starship book has all that info. So in theory, I suppose, if they're depending on if whether or not they upload the SSD book separate from the rule book, you could get the SSD book and stick with the Master Starship book and have all the relevant information there. Unless they decide to put any scenarios, because there's no scenarios in the Master Starship book, that sort of thing.
I have to check, because normally SSD books, I forget if, how often AV actually posts SSD books, because that's one thing they usually like to avoid posting those things.
Well, if you have a look on like Warehouse 23, not only do they have them there, but they actually have there's two different PDF files that you can buy. One of them is the black and white PDFs, and the other ones are semi-colorized. Now, they're not fully Fed Commander colors, but they're in that direction. So you'll basically see like different colors for some of the systems, but the outline of the ship is still blank. So if people like, you know, prefer to get the SSD books that way, then they can do so.
Sean, I forget his last name at this moment in time, was doing the colorization, you know, filling in the boxes with the colors to make it look a little pretty. But
John
still,
Hancock, yeah.
yeah, but still maintaining the look of, you know, the old SSDs. Yeah, one miniature I thought was kind of cool, which is the Arachnids.
Yeah, their fleet is up, but actually, one mini that's new I thought you might be find interesting is the there's a miniature up for the ISC heavy war cruiser from Module R12, and the actual 3D model is pretty interesting because like there's a war cruiser miniature as well, which if you compare it to the destroyer, it's got like a large hull section that's been like welded onto like beneath like where the two regular engines are. And then there's a third engine, third destroyer engine, I should say. And also two little kind of like mini prongs to account for the plasma enhanced torpedoes. But if you look at the heavy war cruiser, it has most of that. But instead of having a third destroyer engine, it has two frigate engines on top. So on the SSD, that actually blocks the top phasers from having a 360-degree arc. But there are more phasers in the FX arc than there are on the warcruiser. But if you have a chance to check it on there, it's a pretty interesting looking miniature.
Okay, which one was this again? I'm sorry. I was busy trying to get to the web page.
Yeah, ISC heavy war cruiser.
Heavy war cruiser. Okay. Oh, okay. Got it. Ah, yes.
Yeah, so if you're able to bring the 3D model up,
Yeah,
you can rotate it around and you can actually see the extra hull segments and stuff.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing right now. That's interesting. That is interesting. Because I'm looking below on the bottom of the miniature. It almost looks like there's two kind of pylons embedded in the bottom.
Yeah, because I think that's the only way you can actually get the S torpedo launchers on there. What's that? Well, actually, one thing that's also interesting is that that ship, in the regular timeline, it enters production after the Andromedan War kicks off. Like, because the blurb that's on the Shapeways page, like, basically, it's more or less the same blurb that's in Module R12 itself. But if there's any more work that's done on the Paravians and Carnivans from Module C6, in principle, that ship could appear at the same time as other heavy war cruisers in, or on other parts of the Alpha Octant in the Peravian timelines, where instead of basically staying neutral in the general war, the IFC is basically sucked into the general war against both the Peravians and Romulans.
Right. That doesn't surprise me because that just reminds me of what I read about. I was reading about the ISC, after the whole idea of, the echelon of justice, and it's like we're gonna be the good guys, and all these other people are crazy. Basically, they just got roped into it. And it's like everyone's just nuts, and they came just like any other empire.
Well, a part of the issue would be that had the Peravians survived, then they would have come into contact with the IFC much earlier. Basically, they would have dragged the Concordium into the broader octant. I think in the Module C6, they say it's as early as Y110, so they still have like the earlier ships. So they were basically in those timelines, there would never even be a thought of a pacification because the IFC would have already become more like a regular Alpha Empire in its outlook long before then. Because I don't think it's linked to on the BBS anymore, but if you have the sample PDF, because another thing on Warehouse 23 is there's a preview PDF for Module C6, and in there's one of the pages where it shows, they call it Map Sheet P. It's basically a modified version of the F&E map to show where the Peravian Empire would be and how the other borders around it get adjusted because of it.
Yeah, I don't have that PDF. I don't, yeah, I'm guaranteed I don't have that PDF. At least it was. I assume from the way you're talking, that it was removed from the actual release version of Module C6.
Oh no, it's in regular Module C6 as well. But what I mean is that if anyone wants to get a quick glance at what's going on, the same map is in there. And actually, in the same preview PDF, you can see the preview maps for the different Carnivon timelines as well. Oh, and of course, I should point out that the first modern Carnivon ships, the ones from Module C6, also went up this month.
Okay, wow. So, okay, that'd be good. Wow. Praetorian territory would be quite large. Dang.
Yeah, they basically forced the ISC to push earlier towards the Galactic Rim, so the Romulans never get access to an off-map area. So the Romulan territory is smaller, but in the preview in for F&E at Captain's Log 48, just in regular F&E, the Klingons get a chance to lease territory in the Laren off-map area, and so there's at least one of the Klingon subject planets that's in Prime Directive Klingons that's out in that space. So similarly, the playtest rules for the Peravians in Captain's Log 48 allow the Romulans to access the Peravian off-map territory in the same way.
What's this? This is I must also I got sucked in the C6 and I started looking at the Carnivons too. They have an F&E
Yeah,
map
because
for
both
them
of their
too.
timelines, like there's the one where they basically manage to unite as an empire. So they basically stay stuck up in the top left of the map, blocking the Lirans and Xintis from each other. And in that universe, the winds still exist, but I guess maybe they get access to a few spare Carnivon ships too. But the other timeline is basically two hordes escape into the wind cluster and become the owners of the winds, of the cluster itself. And then later on, they burst out of the cluster to claim new territory. So you can actually see both of those maps in the same file as well.
That's interesting. Let's get back to the Peruvians. Darn sun snake.
Well, of course, it's not the end of the Peruvian story, as you'd see in Captain's Log 54. So.
Yep. Agreed. You know, some escape somehow.
Although, actually, you know what I think would be interesting is when the time comes to do the Lost Empires for Federation and Empire, because in Captain's Log 44, there is a updated scenario called the Klingon Eastern Marches, and that's basically a timeline where either the Tholians never show up or the Klingons defeat them, and they push on. Basically, they do the invasion of the Romulans that they were about to do in the regular timeline, but the Tholians stopped them. So in this alternate scenario, Romulan territory becomes a thing called the Imperial Klingon Marches. And it's basically like a viceregal. It's like during the colonial days. Like, say when Spain conquered the New Mexico and Peru, the Mexico got turned into the viceroyalty of New Spain. So rather than Madrid trying to rule Mexico directly, the viceroy in Mexico City rules on his behalf.
Right.
So similarly, in game terms, in Federation Empire terms, the IKM would have a viceroy on Romulus who is more or less treated as an ally to the regular Klingon Empire. But I was thinking that if you combine that with one of the Lost Empire timelines, you could use the same map sheet P, but instead of having the Peruvians ally with the Romulans, maybe they could ally with the Klingons.
Holy cow.
By which I mean the IKM.
Mm-hmm. No, understood. I was just thinking about how the map would look totally different if the Tholians hadn't come in, you know, and the Klingons would have basically conquered the Romulans, is what they're saying. Just imagine that. You know, so the Klingon, quote unquote, the Klingon Empire, kind of, would be bordering on possibly the Peruvians and the Gorn, and be almost as large as, well, not quite as large, but much close to it as the Federation. So that.
Well, there certainly be. On the other hand, though, the IKM, they wouldn't have access to cloaking devices or Mauler cannons.
Because, right.
The assumption would be that in that timeline, any Mauler technology would have been either discarded or destroyed or lost or whatever, and the Romulans never would have gotten around to inventing the cloak by the time they were conquered.
Right.
So that means the Orions wouldn't have cloaks either. But, on the other hand, like, you have much more commonality in design in terms of spare parts and logistics and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be a lot easier for the two quote-unquote Klingon factions to work together.
Exactly. Dang, I think that would change things dramatically if that would have happened in that timeline.
Although, speaking of the Klingons, I also think it would be interesting because if there was the Carnivon Empire timeline where there were small empire kind of stuck between the Larians and Xintis, I'd almost wonder if it'd be more interesting to have the Klingons ally with them and use the Carnivons as leverage against both the Larians and Xintis rather than allying with the Larians instead.
Mm-hmm. Would be interesting. actually was something I probably should do is, don't mind me. Yeah. Well, I think we'll close it up with that. Gary, sorry if I didn't see you, because otherwise we could have talked about the juggernauts. Jeez. But
well, I guess since last week's recording didn't go that well.
It didn't go at all. I deleted everything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, for anyone who didn't hear it last week, the plan was, well, the suggestion was to take the Juggernaut Mint. Actually, I posted on the BBS in the Juggernaut discussion thread just to give a quick update as to which SSDs are in which captions log and so on.
Okay.
So, like, the main ones to look for would be 35 and 41 and, I guess, 33 as well. So basically just because the original idea for last week was to try and see about whether or not the juggernauts could ever shift from being a monster like the encounter one at a time to becoming an invading an playable empire the way the Andromedans are. So that topic didn't really work last week because of the technical issues, and but I guess if anyone is out there who is interested in the juggernauts and in the Shapeways miniatures that exist from the frigate all the way to the battleship.
Where is that?
Maybe it might be worth. Sorry.
Where's the?
Yeah, just go into. Go to the proposals board.
Okay, and that's topic. That's the system announcements.
Oh no! Under Starfleet battles.
Okay, Starfleet battles. This would be proposal board. There it is. Okay. Monsters and other baddies?
And then
baddies?
Down the very bottom. Yeah, there's one says monsters and other baddies.
Okay. Ah, juggernaut thoughts.
Oh, and also, now this will be a more of a long-term thread, but there's also a thread that I started recently about the Nebulae, the guys in M81 who supported the old galaxy piracy. So. I'm putting a pin in that idea for now, but that might be something worth doubling or tripling back to maybe a few weeks down the road if anyone's interested.
Wow, your first post on the Juggernauts was back in 2009.
Yeah, if you scroll down near the bottom, just the post that the most recent one that should have a better collection. I wasn't sure whether I should actually just create a brand new thread and start from scratch or stick with the one that's already there. So seemed to make more sense to stick with the one that's there though.
Yeah. With the last reply was from Steve Patrick in 2011. I saw a one-on-one duel between Juggernaut and B-10. It was Pyrrhic. Massive drone strike destroyed the Juggernaut, but the Juggernaut downed the face and shield of B-10 and resulted in a destruction blast. Oh, the Juggernaut destroyed the B-10. Jeez. Oh, that's funny. Yes, I killed you, and you just and I just blew you up. I'm sorry. I find that funny. But
so yeah, and I don't know if Barry has any of those issues, but I guess I'd like to hear his thoughts too if he has anything to add, but if not, that's fair enough.
Understood. Well, Gary, it's been a pleasure. You have a good night.
Same to you. Have a good night.
Okay. So we had a nice little discussion here about the clients, about a little bit about the juggernaut. Hopefully we'll be able to discuss that topic in near future. Hopefully next week, if not. Oh, the one thing I need to mention to people is that we will not have an episode on April 1st because I'm going to be on vacation. So just to let you know that in like 4 weeks, I think at the moment, we will not be having a podcast for that evening. So just to let you know, to give you a heads up on that. Actually, I think I usually don't have one anyway, because usually that's also Holy Thursday. So I usually don't have time to do a podcast night anyway. Just a quick note on that. And of course, a little rant about Facebook and groups, which I hope people enjoyed. And hopefully, that's, I think the best way of growing SFB is just going to have people enjoy it, and then hopefully draw other people in. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.